God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is coming from our gospel reading with the title, basically, How Can One Love the Unlovable? As we may take a look at our own personal lives, we may run across some people who we may think are just basically unlovable. You know, they might even be family members within your family or maybe the in-laws, so to speak. You know, that one family member that no one quite gets along with. Maybe it's the coworker. Maybe it's the neighbor down the street. Maybe it is a different ethnic group, a different language group. Maybe it's someone with a particular illness, that if they contract an illness, all of a sudden they become untouchable. Well, today's text deals with the untouchables, so to speak, the unlovables. Unfortunately, as we may be quick in our mind to think of people who are unlovable or untouchable from our point of view, our text is really dealing with us. You see, we have to realize we were the unlovable. We were the untouchable. Yes, when God created us, of course, we were loved. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before they sinned, there was a beautiful relationship between them and God. However, sin separated that relationship that created that unlovable status. However, God did not want that unlovable status to remain. So he chose to do something about it. Now, I will admit, when we talk about the love of God, we always talk about it in human words. And you might be thinking, okay, Pastor, what words would we be talking about it if they were not human words or terms? And the answer is, beats me. But that actually fits very well with the love of God. You see, that love of God is a complete mystery. How does God love the unlovable? When we cannot get past our own prejudices, our own hatreds, our own selections and profilings, how does God do it? The answer, it beats me. It's a complete mystery. So Jesus begins this section of John chapter 15. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." So what is that relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons of the Trinity, but yet one God? And the Father has love for Jesus, but yet there's one God and three persons. It beats me. Let's learn a little bit more. So how is God going to communicate this unspeakable, this mystery of a love? Basically, God is going to take on human flesh and blood. God is going to live among us. God is going to teach us. He does this through the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he now says, abide in my love. And he says, you're going to do this by keeping my commandments. And we might be thinking, wait a minute for a moment. How can a bunch of rules, a bunch of law, keep us in love? The answer to that is, we have to go back to what the summary of these commandments are. Because sometimes we may misuse what God was trying to communicate to us. The summary of these commandments was to love God above all things and to love our neighbor. These then commandments were then giving us an examples of how to live and how to demonstrate that love. But bottom line is, please note that that love was to go to all people. You see, when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he dies on the cross to restore all of humanity. Just not you and your friends, or you and your relatives, or you and the people that you think will be with you in heaven above, but no, all of humanity. God desires everyone to be with him in heaven above, including those people who, by our own sinful nature, that we have deemed to be the unlovable, the untouchables of today's society. God says, oh, by the way, I want them also. but will this offend you? If your sinful nature is strong, it may offend you. You may sit there and say, well, I don't want to be in heaven with so-and-so. Well, guess what? God wants them to be in heaven with you. Now, do we get a better picture of God's love? Maybe, maybe not. So Jesus then continues. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We have to realize that Jesus gives joy, love, and peace in a different world, that different way that the world gives these things. The world will talk about joy. It'll talk about happiness. It'll talk about love. It'll talk about peace, but in a different way that God does. And the reason why is, again, because God's love is a mystery to us. And we only get a little bit of a glimpse of that love through the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that little glimpse is enough. Let me skip down to near the bottom of our text, because that's where that love begins to take place. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Very often when we talk about Christianity, very often we have to almost always include other religions and saying, well, what is kind of the difference here? What's the difference between Christianity and Islam, or Christianity and Buddhism, or Christianity and whatever faith group you may be talking about or thinking about? In this one passage, demonstrating God's mysterious love is the key. In the other religions, do you have a deity who's going to say, I'm going to take on human flesh and blood. I'm going to walk among you, teach you, die for you, so that I can choose you. And it's all of you. This is called a universal atonement, that God desires truly all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Unfortunately, not all Christians teach this. I'm still surprised that when I start reading about some things where other Christian denominations will teach where God chooses some of you to go to heaven and then some of you not to go to heaven. Okay, let's stop being politically correct. Let's just name it the way it is. It's called double predestination, where their thought is that God chooses some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. However, this is not what Christ teaches. Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of everybody's sins. But yet, at the same time, not everyone is going to go to heaven. Why? Because there are some people who do not want to understand God's love. They are so steeped in their own selfishness that they don't want a universal atonement. They don't want God desiring everyone to be saved, just those who look like them, act like them, and just me and my friends, and that's us, and no more. It's that type of mindset that really pushes away from God, because God is desiring everybody. And notice, you were once in that unlovable category, but of course, now that you have been touched by God, now that you have been baptized by God, you've been exposed to His Word, the Holy Spirit has converted you, you receive His body and blood, we may get a little complacent with this mystery of God's love. We might start thinking of it as, it's more my love. It is not our love and our friendships and our likings that bring someone to be with Christ forever and ever. It is His love. His love is mysterious, in which He wants all people to be saved. So Jesus says, you did not choose me. That's one of the major differences in all religions. Most other religions, you have to go do something to appease God. You have to go do this. You have to go do that. Here Jesus says, no, it's me doing it from Jesus' point of view. That's why we call this the divine service. It is the divine who is serving us. the divine who is coming to us, the divine who is bringing His love, His forgiveness to us. Because even still, deep down inside, even though we've been baptized, have His name placed upon us, He is in our hearts, even though we feast on His body and blood, hear His word, our sinful nature is still strong. And that sinful nature still says, I don't know if I really want all to be saved. Yes, we live in a world that does create this unlovable, untouchable category. But we have a God who says, I will get past the things of this world because each and every one of you is so important. And it doesn't matter how many sins we have committed. It doesn't matter who we are, how rich we are, how poor we are, what language we speak, what part of the globe we live in, what type of disease we may or may not have. God's love is for you. That is the complete mystery. Even though we have the eternal God who says He's all-knowing, He knows all our thoughts, our actions, our desires, our words, and He still loves us, that again is part of God's mysterious love. And so He sort of concludes this section of Scripture with a similar thought from last week. Abide in His love. Stay connected to Him. As He is connected to you, you need to stay connected to Him. And that abiding is more than just a casual companionship. It is a living within each other. So He asks us to live within His word. And He lives within us. Again, another mysterious part of God's love. But a necessary part for God to continue to love the unlovable. So this day, as we are still in our Easter season, celebrating the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, noting that universal atonement for all people, regardless of who they are, we ask the Lord to help us overcome the prejudice within us that creates unlovable and untouchable categories, because that is what sin is all about. That is the ways of this world. So we ask the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts. And so if we see people in need of hearing the gospel, regardless of who they are or where they are in life, even if they really smell and they might be completely offensive to us, we ask the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts, to remember God's love for us, so that we in turn may also extend His love to those around us, even to the untouchables, the unlovables, because God does love the unlovable. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.